Advent is a time of praise. During Advent, we remember God's past faithfulness.
Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits.
During Advent, we remember God's present goodness.
Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits.
During Advent, we remember God's future promises.
Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits.
This morning, all the candles are finally lit, all except one, the Christ candle. Christmas is not here yet. We are reminded today that Advent is a time to prepare. During Advent, we prepare ourselves in heart, soul, and strength to welcome our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who was and who is to come. Let me read that sentence again. During Advent, we prepare ourselves in heart, soul, and strength to welcome our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who was and is to come. He was when he came to earth as a baby. He lived on the earth for 33 and a half years, trying to prepare the way for people. He is with us today, every day of our life. We wake up. We can say, thank you, Lord, for your blessings of the night. You kept us safe. Thank you for the mercies that you're going to prepare for us this day. And then is to come. One of these days, he's coming back for us. That's going to be a wonderful, glorious day. We're either going to see him through the rapture or we're going to go through death. Whichever one is he sees fit is good. The last sentence is, let each of us ask God to prepare us to celebrate the glory of Christmas.
Advent greetings to you on this fourth Sunday in the season. We greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. And what a journey we have been on together. Since the first candle was lit, and we remember together that Advent is about the return of Christ as much as it is about the birth of Christ in Bethlehem. That we are living between times, between his first and second coming. And so as we've lit all of the other candles. Each Sunday there's been a challenge for preparing for Christ, preparing our hearts, our minds, our soul. This Sunday, the fourth and final Sunday of Advent, we receive one more challenge, a challenge to consider all the ways that God calls us. God is calling us. God calls all of us in many ways, in many directions. Every day as a disciple is a life of calling. Would you prepare your hearts to wrestle with that challenge today as we hear the reading of our scripture?
Reading from the letter to the Romans, chapter 16, verses 25 through 27. Now to God, who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the proclamation of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages, but is now disclosed, and through the prophetic writings is made known to all the Gentiles, according to the command of the eternal God, to bring about the obedience of faith to the only wise God through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever. Amen. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let's pray together. Almighty God, on this last Sunday of Advent, we reflect on the mystery. We rest in awe and in wonder at how our Jesus entered our world and came to be with us. We're so thankful for the precious gift of your Son. May we have watchful hope today, believing all that you have promised us. Help us that we might be your servants, that we might be instruments of God's love for our families and all that we serve this week. Help us to faithfully walk in your way through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, please stand and sing our hymn of praise, Angels We Have Heard on High. It's number 100 in your hymnal.
For this morning and this week, our prayer revolution focus is our FBC Elon family. As we come to this time of year of Advent, we oftentimes think of family. We get to see those family members that maybe we don't get to see throughout the year. We gather together in celebration following family traditions, and it is no different here at First Baptist Elon, because we truly believe anyone who steps foot in these walls is a part of our family. We are united through Christ. We are thankful for the opportunity to be here this day, but we are fully aware as we look around, there are a lot of empty spaces. There's individuals who are already traveling for the holidays. There's individuals who are recovering from surgeries or procedures that could not make it out this morning. There are individuals in the hospital. There are individuals who are struggling with the colds and illnesses that are of this time. And as we gather here as a family, we must not forget that even though they may not sit in our presence, they are a part of our family. We have wonderful opportunities this week to gather as family and to lift our family up. This afternoon at 4 o'clock, we have an opportunity to gather, to go to those who can't make it out on Sunday mornings, to gather with us and worship. They worship with us in spirit, but maybe not in presence. So I want to encourage everyone to come out this afternoon at 4 o'clock to go Christmas caroling to our shut-ins. It's a wonderful opportunity to bring the season of Advent to them. Then we will gather here again on Wednesday evening for our time of communion for our Christmas Eve service. What a wonderful celebration and what a wonderful opportunity to gather with your immediate family and your church family. I encourage you all to come out at 5 o'clock on Wednesday for this special service. But as we pray this morning, as we pray this week, let us lift up our FBC Elon family. Let us pray. Father God, I am thankful to be a part of this congregation who truly believes that as we gather together, we are family. Brothers and sisters, bonded through the love that you've given through your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, as we gather this time of Advent and we think about the nativity scene, we see a family. We see Joseph and Mary, and then on Christmas Eve, we'll see baby Jesus, and we look forward to that opportunity of gathering together as a family to celebrate and to anticipate. Father God, as we gather here this morning, we know that there are many are absent, whether it be because of health or travel. We lift them up to you today. We place them in your hands, and may they know that their family here at FBC Elon is lifting them up this morning. We look forward to times to gather together, whether it be in this place or in our community. As we come together as a family, may we be reminded that you are the one who has called us and brought us together. And we, as we go through this time, a season of Advent, and move into this new year, that we are bonded through you. Father God, I am thankful for my brothers and sisters this day. In the Lord's name we pray. Amen. This time, I want to invite our children to come forward for our children's time. Good morning. How are y'all doing? Oh, come on, guys. How are y'all doing? Wait a minute. Let me start this. Are you excited that school is out for the holidays? There we go. Always have to start it with something. I am too. I am excited because we get to spend more time together. We are almost there. It's almost Christmas Eve. I'm sure we're excited about that, right? Yeah, I know. I am. I'm excited. And once again, we come to this time and this place where we gather up front and our Christmas present is still here. Now, I had some adults ask me this past week. They said, hey, why don't y'all open it early? What do you think about that? Should we open it today?
Yes.
Yes? Really? Today? Nope. I think I'm with Wesley. Wesley said no. Uh-uh. Well, let's look and see if there's a note again on the bottom of our present. Oh, let's see. Oh, Of course, and it's in Christmas green. Here it goes. Well, this is what our message says this morning. Just as Mary was obedient to God's plan, you have been very patient and obedient. And you really have. You've been very patient and obedient. Meet back here on Christmas Eve to finally be blessed. And this is, well, look at this. What does that say? Be blessed. Wait a minute. I don't think everybody heard it. Read it louder.
With the greatest gift of all.
To be blessed with the greatest gift of all. I think Pastor Mason was going to try to take it. That's pretty exciting, right? The greatest gift of all is in here. Can you wait 3 more days? Well, you know what? I think there was somebody that we can talk about that kind of had the same feeling you did. And that's this person right here. This is from our nativity scene. This is Mary. Can you believe how impatient Mary probably got after the angel, and we're told in Luke chapter 1, angel came and told her that you were going to give birth to the promised one, the Messiah. And he's going to be called Jesus. And you are going to give birth to the Son of God. Can you imagine what was going on in Mary's mind after she got this incredible message? She was like, wow, this is incredible. And she was probably thinking, I wish this would hurry up. Let's get it going. Come on, let's go. But she had to wait. And she was obedient because she had to listen to God and listen to the words of instruction that God had given her. And so you know what she did? She waited. And she prepared, and she anticipated, and she was excited, just like y'all are about opening this gift. But she was excited, but she knew in the right time, when it was finally time, that Jesus would be born. And that was God's plan. She was obedient. So sometimes, even when we might not necessarily want to, we have to be obedient. We have to be obedient to God, and we have to be obedient to the plan He has for us. So, if you will join me back in 3 more days on Christmas Eve for our Christmas Eve service, my guess is it'll be time to open the present. Luke, will you do me a favor? Will you pick up Mary and will you place her in our nativity scene over there on the table? We want to make sure all the pieces are in place. And if you look at it, we're missing one piece. Do you know who we're missing? Baby Jesus, my guess is. And the 3 wise men. We'll talk about that after Christmas. All right, guys, let's have a word of prayer. And let's pray and ask God to give us patience in being obedient to His plan. Let's stand up. Father, I am thankful for these children. I know they're excited. I know they're excited about school finally being out. They're excited about this Christmas break. And they're excited about all the things that are going to take place in the coming days. And I know they're excited about this gift. I just ask that you give them the patience to be obedient to your plan. Not just in opening this gift, but in your plan for each one of them. Because they're each special. They're each wonderfully gifted by you. And we're thankful that, God, you can use us. Just the simple us, just like you use the simple me. Father God, we lift this season up and these children up to you this day. In the Lord's name we pray.
Please stand and sing our offertory hymn, Gentle Mary Laid Her Head, hymn number 101. Please stand.
Divine. pray. Dear Father, it is such a blessing to be here on this Christmas or Sunday before Christmas as we anxiously await the arrival of our Savior Jesus. Lord, what can we give you that you truly need other than our love? And Lord, as we bring these seemingly small gifts, we ask that you bless them and use them for the furthering of your kingdom. For we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.
Crowded in worship today as she slips in, trying to fade into the faces. The girl's teasing laughter is carrying farther than they know, farther than they know. But if we are the body, why aren't his arms reaching? Why aren't his hands healing? Why aren't his words teaching? And if we are the body, why aren't his feet going? Why is his love not showing them? There is a way. There is a way.
Traveler is far away from home. He sheds his coat and quietly sinks into the back row. The weight of their judgmental glances tells him that his chances are better out on the road.
But if we are the body, why aren't his arms reaching? Why aren't his hands healing? Why aren't his words teaching? And if we are the body, why aren't his feet going? Why is his love not showing them? There is a way. Jesus paid much too high a price for us to pick and choose who should come. And we are the body of Christ. But if we are the body, why aren't his arms reaching? Why aren't his hands healing? Why aren't his words teaching? And if we are the body, why aren't his feet going? Why is his love not showing them there is a way? But if we are the body, why aren't his arms reaching? Why aren't his hands healing? Why aren't his words teaching? And if we are the body, why aren't his feet going? Why is his love not showing them there is a way? There is a way.
Oh,
invite you to join me in our pastoral prayer and confession. Lord, we pray for those who are traveling, those who are journeying during this weekend and in the week to come. May you in your grace protect them and watch over them. Give them opportunities to serve and bless others. Give them opportunities to worship and lift up praise. And Lord, we pray for those who are struggling with colds and sickness this season. It is a hard choice to stay home so that others may not get sick as well. So we thank you for their sacrifice. And we pray, Lord, that your spirit be with them even as it is here with us. Lord, we lift up and remember those who are struggling with more grave and difficult illnesses, whether they be in the hospital or having procedures pending, troubles with hearts and other parts of our body, eyes and noses. There are so many from this body that need your care and your attention and your healing. And Lord, in this season of joy and celebration, we especially lift up those for whom this will be also a time of grief, as many of us remember the ones that we've lost, the ones who will not be at the table this year. We pray, Lord, for your comfort and your strength. We pray that you would give us opportunities to celebrate their life and remember the blessings they brought, that we would not lose heart, nor would we lose sight of the bigger picture of your grace and your kingdom forever. We pray, O Lord, for those who are homebound and shut in, those who will not be able to make it to the Christmas Eve service. We pray, Lord, that you would be with them as well. And God, we give you thanks. We give you thanks for the blessings of another year, of another season of Advent to be challenged in and reminded that we are called to be disciples. Forgive us, Lord, when we listen to the world more than we listen to your church, when we allow the rhythms and the patterns of the market and the commercials to dictate what we do and when we do it. Forgive us, Lord, when we lose sight and become so busy, too focused on spending and shopping and hustling from this to that, and we forget about our families, forget about our devotions. We run out of time. Forgive us. But Lord, this is a season of grace. We believe in your grace. We trust in your grace. We proclaim your grace. And Lord, by your grace, we are healed. We are set free. We are set free from shame and guilt and death and destruction and sin itself. And so our prayer this Christmas is that your grace would shine upon us. In the name of Christ, your Son, we pray. Amen. We invite you to hear again from the words of Scripture as we come to Mary and her famous song, the Magnificat. She celebrates and rejoices in this gift of a child within her. And at the leaping of Cousin John, she is moved to sing. My soul magnifies the Lord. And my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their heart. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty.
He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promises he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever. And Mary remained with her about 3 months and then returned to her home. Oh, how God always blesses the reading and the hearing of his holy word. This church, but in a church on the back row. That's right, sisters. I was a back row Baptist too. And I was sitting there listening to the revival guest preacher, the Reverend Doctor, and he was preaching about calling. And he asked the question, is God calling you? And I wrestled with it and said yes. And so as a 15-year-old, shaky-voiced little kid, I walked that aisle and shook his hand, and that meant I was answering a call into ministry. Now, in my mind, that might be very much a formula calling story. There was an invitation. I responded to the invitation. I followed through with the mechanics of answering that call. But for some of you, you have calling stories that are perhaps different, maybe more spontaneous. Perhaps it was sitting in a traffic jam and you were listening to a song on the radio and something about it spoke to you and you knew there was something God wanted you to do, to accomplish, to complete. Maybe it was while you were doing your devotion. You came across a scripture, and in that scripture you were reminded of an invitation you were given at church to be a part of this, or to serve here or there, or to go on this mission project, or to teach this class, or to become a deacon. And you knew in the reading of that word that this was God's call for you that day. Sometimes callings are very specific like that, to ministry or to serve. Sometimes they're broader, like the call to go and make disciples. We should hear and allow that calling to resonate with us every day. Every day we are called to fulfill that challenge. It is, as they say, after all, not the great suggestion, but the great commission. These kinds of callings that come to us, big callings, little callings, specific callings, general callings, they are callings to say, and this is it, it gets about as black and white as you can get right here, right now, to say yes or no to an almighty God. As we come to our scripture for the sermon, would you pause with me in prayer? Lord, we don't like it black and white. We like it gray. We like to have options and loopholes and fine print that will get us out of the contract. And yet you call us to be disciples, and so here we are. We brace ourselves to hear the story of Mary's calling once again, and how her calling might challenge and shape our sense of your call on our lives. In Christ's name, amen. Luke 1, verse 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And us of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative, Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." The angel departed from her. This text, a very familiar one in our minds, presents us with a great challenge. And
in many respects. It's challenging just to read it and think about it from Mary's perspective. This young teenage girl from a nothing family, living in this little backwoods community in the middle of nowhere, a place of no significance on the global scheme. And then this angel appears to her and greets her. It says in this translation, she was perplexed. In reality, it's a much deeper word than that. It implies that she was shaken, that she was greatly agitated by this greeting and wondered, what's going to happen now? In Mary's day, there were all sorts of legends and stories about angels, including one angel who, in jealousy, shows up and executes every one of the bridegrooms because he's in love with the bride. Maybe she had that in mind. Or maybe she remembered her Old Testament. She remembered that often in the Old Testament, when the angels show up, it's the angel of death, not the angel of mercy. Or maybe she was just overwhelmed by the radiance of this heavenly being there in her presence. But she was greatly troubled over this. And things did not get less troubling for her as the angel offers her this incredible call. God's got this plan, you see, Mary. He's going to cause you to be with child, Mary. And hey, I know you're not married yet, Mary, but don't worry about it. God will take care of all the details. And she said, say what, God? What? Do not lose sight of what this will mean for Mary in her time to be pregnant out of wedlock. It's not just that she would be shamed or people would whisper about her in the corners, the back corner of the church. No, no. This is deadly serious. She could face the death penalty for this. And how is she going to explain this to her family and her relatives? Oh, well, an angel told me it's God's baby. Great story, Mary. And so she was troubled with good reason. And then, after the angel shares with her this story about her cousin, and she's told about John, and she's told about how this is going to play out and who this child will be, and she had to begin to think that to be the mother of the child of God, to be the mother of Messiah, it's going to have to be hard. It's going to have to be difficult, and no doubt painful, and indeed it would be. And so in the face of all of this, this little teenage girl, unwed, says, may it be with me. She says, here I am, your servant. I kind of think that is amazing. That is incredible. Now, I know as Baptists, we don't want to make too big a deal of Mary, and we get really concerned about that. But come on, folks. She said, may it be with me? In the face of all of that, she said, yes, Lord. Sure, God. Let it happen. I'm your servant. Here am I. It is amazing indeed. But the question that I would push to us this morning is, what if Mary had said no? What if she had refused? Now, I'll let you in a little secret. I have preached this sermon at every church that I have ever served, and the answers, the responses are always the same. Well, God wouldn't let her say no. That's not God. It's not his style. It's not his way. What are you suggesting that God was going to do? If she said no, he would say, too bad. That God would somehow force himself on this young girl and force his will upon her and force this life of sacrifice on her? No, we see time after time throughout the Old Testament, this is God's style. He yields to the will of human beings. I don't know why. If I were God, I wouldn't do it like that. And yet, he does. He hinges life and death, the whole fate of civilizations, on the decisions of individuals. Maybe the other response is, well, if Mary had said no, then God would have just asked someone else who would have said yes. Well, maybe. But consider this, that is it not possible that if God had asked every little virgin teenager in Bethlehem for hundreds and thousands of years, is it not possible that every last one of them could have said no? May it not be with me. Let it be with someone else, God. See, the facts about God are the facts about God, and that is that God invites us to join him in ministry. He never makes us join him. Now, where are you going with all this, Mason? Consider this. If it is possible for Mary to have said no, and for all Marys to have said no, what would be the consequences of her no, God? May it not be with me. No away in a manger. No joy to the world. No Messiah born in Bethlehem. It sounds so far-fetched. But there would be no Christ. No Christmas. No salvation for you and me. Could God have done it some other way? Oh, of course he could have. Would God have done it some other way? Probably so. But the reality is God chose to do it this way. To hinge salvation. To hinge the coming of Messiah. To hinge the eternity of all creation on this little girl's yes or no. So here's the point. When we say yes to God, it matters. When we say no to God, oh, it matters. And in truth, our yeses and nos may be affecting the lives of countless millions, and we don't even know it. Our yeses and our nos may be changing the very course of human history, and we don't even know it. Our yeses and nos mark the fate for other people's entrance into the very kingdom of God. Consider when you feel that sense of quiet calling to go and share the plan of salvation with your neighbor, your cousin, your coworker, and you just have that gnawing sense that God wants you to go and just talk to them about your faith, and you say, I don't know, God. May it not be with me. Let it be with someone else. The reality is we could be cheating that person life to the full in Christ just by saying no. Or consider that mission or that ministry or that outreach that the church is planning and working towards, and you're invited to join in and to be a part of it. And we know that God has sense that God is calling us to do that, to jump right in there. But we got a lot going on, God. We have a lot of other responsibilities, and we say, you know, may it be with someone else who's better qualified, or someone else who's got more time, or someone else who's got more resources. And could it be that our no ruined everything? Or perhaps we have that little window of opportunity to invite someone to come and to be a part of a church. And we say, we know we need people coming in the doors, and maybe we need the preacher to be doing it. Maybe we need the deacons to be out there reaching out. And we hear that sense of God's quiet calling saying, no, I really need you to invite her. I need you to invite him. And we say, God, I don't know. May it be with someone else. And we see churches that go through whole generations of people saying, no, let it be with someone else. And what is the effect of that? We see churches crumbling, falling apart, dying, fading away into nothing. And those who were there from the beginning, they get older and they leave us. And who is there to replace them? Could it be that there's no one there because no one said, Lord, let it be with me? There is a story of a man who moved into a new community. And he felt like he needed to join a church. You know, in a lot of small towns, it's still a reality that if you want to make it in business, you have to be a member of the First Baptist Church. And so he called the First Baptist Church and said, Pastor, I'm looking for a congregation. I'm looking for a church. And so the pastor, like any good pastor, he was on it. He was excited. Oh, we would love to have you. You're more than welcome to come. We hope to see you Sunday. Hang on, preacher, the man said. I just want to clarify now. I want to go to church. But if I need to not show up, I don't want to be hassled about it. I want to be able to come and go as I please. I don't want to go to one of these churches where they're always asking you to do something, to give something. I don't want to go to one of these churches where they're always expecting you to show up at the special stuff, you know. I don't want to be hassled about going to a Bible study group, or I don't want to be hounded about having to be a part of some mission project. I don't want to be out there outreaching. I don't want to be out there telling people, hey, come to my church. I don't want to be expected to invite people. I just want to come and worship. Can I not just go to church and be fed spiritually? I need church. This pastor was older and wiser, and he had a plan. He said, you know, my church is not the church you're looking for. We just don't have what you need. We don't have what you're asking for. There is another church on the other side of town. It fits what you're describing perfectly. You'll fit right in. It's exactly what you want. And he gave him the directions. Sunday morning, the guy put on his best Sunday clothes, his Sunday go-to-meeting outfit, got in his car, had the directions in his hand, followed them through the town, turning this way and that way, pulled into the church parking lot, stepped out of his car, and gasped. He covered his mouth. He lowered his head in shame. Because what he was looking at in that moment was a run-down, closed-down church. The doors were boarded up, caution tape over one of the windows. The bricks were even crumbling and falling apart. A tree was growing up in the middle of the parking lot. It was, by all accounts, a dead church. Exactly what he was looking for. On this third and fourth and final Sunday of Advent, the challenge from Mary's willingness in the face of such difficulty is a challenge of reality, that the reality of being a disciple is that I and you, every single one of us, are receiving calls from God every day. Maybe it's a call into the ministry. Maybe it's a call to be more active or to be more present. Maybe it's a call into missions or to be a part of a ministry team. Maybe it's a call to join the choir or to lend your gifts in some way. Maybe it's a call to give more. But every day, every which way we turn, we are presented by God with calls. And these calls are the life and the death of the church. Them's the facts. And our church is on a collision course with death if we don't do more than we're doing today. We need those sweet Marys to say, Lord, may it be with me. That when we hear the call, who will it be with? Who will it be with to reach out into our community? Who will it be with to bring in the people? Who will it be with to make new disciples? Who will it be with to lead our missions, our outreach? Who will it be with to teach our children and our teenagers? Who will it be with to be present when we need you the most? And my Christmas prayer is that each of us in our hearts would find a way to say, Lord, let it be with me. Would you pray? Oh Lord, we ask that you would open our hearts, that you would open my heart and every heart here, that we might be ready and sensitive to your words of calling on our lives, that we would have open ears and open minds, and that whatever you're calling us to do today, whatever calling you've placed on our lives, that this Sunday, today, that this moment, here and now, would be the moment we say, Lord, here I am, your servant. Let it be with me. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I want to extend an invitation to you that if there is a calling in your life, whether it be to ministry or to something every day in the church, in the life of this body, that if you would come and simply kneel at the altar in a state of grace and pray a prayer of commitment, that, Lord, I'm going to say yes today. If you need someone to pray with you or to talk with you through some of those things that you're wrestling with, I'll be sitting right here at the first pew. Come, I'll talk with you and pray with you. And let us all respond as we sing together this powerful song, Here I Am, Lord. Would you stand if you are able? The words are on the screen above.
On behalf of the stewardship and the deacons, I'd like to present you with a token of our appreciation for the year of service you've led our church and led our ministries. Just want to say thank you. This is a Christmas gift for each of you, so I'd like to...
Stand for our congregational response, Emmanuel.